So even though you're not all going to hear it, just be aware that Tom is embarrassing.
Is the worst.
Is the worst. Yeah.
Sessionable.
All right, so we're up to the next beer.
Yeah.
And I think I might have to take some words back that I said earlier in the podcast about good Australian Christmas beers.
Yeah. What are you...
Well, who brought this beer? I didn't bring it.
I brought it.
Oh, I'll let you talk about it then.
Because I didn't even know anything about it. I just saw it on the Oak Barrel list.
Is it even a
beers.
Christmas beer?
Well, it has like Klaus on the name, so I'm guessing...
Well, it doesn't have... I mean...
Klaus's Secret, I'm going to call that. I think it's a loosely based Christmas IPA.
It's a German IPA, yeah. Right? Like a German hopped IPA.
Yeah.
It's, Mandarina Bavaria is the main hop.
Pretty sure,
right?
It's Mandarina Bavaria. Yeah. Saying that, I
just it does say Mandarin IPA, so it's probably Mandarin IPA.
And
it is.
And
yeah.
It, you know, the cause is secret. Like,
you probably know a batch better than we do, Liam, so...
Well, the thing is, I only work there on Sundays, and no one's there on Sundays, so nobody tells you anything. No, I just go, oh, cool, what have we got on tap? Just open up and start pouring myself a beer to try everything.
Yeah, nice.
I'm actually not 100% sure, but I'm 90% sure it's got Mandarin Bavaria in it. So.
Yeah, and if it has, I'd say straight off the bat, it's probably one of the best Mandarin Bavaria beers I've had.
What makes you say that?
I just really think it...
So it's with Vic's Secret.
Poppy Mandarina by Almanac was pretty fucking awesome.
Yeah, that's a completely different style though,
yeah.
Right?
Oh, but you can't just peg it down to styles, right?
Yeah, okay, well, yeah, all right.
So
IPA then, Mandarin Bavaria IPA.
I'm also fairly sure this has got Mandarin Bavaria in it. Only because I taste a lot of rock melon, which is my usual tasting note for Mandarin.
It's Vic's Secret and Mandarin Bavaria SARS.
And SARS.
And I'm sorry, but I don't actually think it's a Christmas beer at all.
God damn it.
Look, I don't know if it's meant to be a Christmas beer, but it's a great beer for Australian Christmas, is what I'm going to say.
Yeah.
I think it's exactly everything that I would want in a beer to have for Christmas this year. What do you guys reckon about this beer?
I like it.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
I am a big fan of Mandarina Bavaria hops. I think they are... It's a nice kind of bridging hop between your noble old world hops and your kind of your fruitier new world hops, your more southern hemisphere hops. It's grown in Germany, but it does have big kind of fruity flavors that you'd more traditionally associate with Pacific hops.
I think the malt base is really light.
Yeah, yeah, and I mean, for a hop forward... You know, to actually get that much, like as Brad was saying, he gets all three hops.
Yeah, which is great, is what you want, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
But to do that, you need to the malt really needs to take a back seat, which it really does. And I really enjoy this beer. I'm a fan of Mandarina Bavaria. I think
what,
some people
how strong
don't like
do you reckon it is?
6.5.
6%.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have got that high.
It's pretty good.
That's good. Yeah. It's really well balanced.
No,
it's,
it is. Yeah.
Yeah.
Another one to add to the Christmas Day drink list, I think.
I reckon this is a cracking Christmas Day beer. Yeah. It's light. It's not too... It's hoppy, but it's not like massive in bitterness. It's all that big tropical...
Absolutely, fruit that's up front. And getting that much tropical fruit out of, you know... Yeah, you've got Vic's Secret, which is a kind of a Southern Hemisphere Pacific hop, but you've also got then two German hops, which are...
You know what? You know, for a German hopped... IPA, it's a great Australian IPA.
Yeah, I agree.
Or Australian style 100% IPA.
Agree.
Yeah.
I was actually going to say, I mentioned before the Colonial Australian IPA as a Christmas beer, and it's actually a really good
I'd agree
Australian Christmas beer because it has the rip top. It's really easy to drink. You can just have it around the barbecue without having to pour it into a glass like a beer wanker that you usually are at Christmas time.
Nah, that's slug straight out of the bottles. Yeah.
Speaking of good Christmas IPAs.
In cans.
What were you guys so scared about?
Not this one. Not this one that we're currently drinking.
The next one is,
seems
is,
to
a,
be a,
is a daunting spectre.
I'm ready for it.
It's a vessel that is close to 1 liter from an undisclosed venue that has gifted us a...
And all it says on the label is a single letter T.
Is it Trim of Pills?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's Trim of Pills.
It's not Tiger, is it?
It's Tiger!
Oh my god, that would be amazing.
That would be the best troll. This is tasting really light from what I remember.
Yeah,
I actually have a Tiger at home.
So actually, recently it was Tiger Day in New South Wales.
Yeah,
this past Tiger Day.
This past Wednesday.
I found this year's, well, I say this year's, they do it twice a year, but I found... this release of Tiger was...
just call it what it is.
So somehow we got our hands on a liter can...
Takeaway format of...
of Feral's Tusk.
Yeah. As of recording, it's now over a week old. So it's now 8 days old.
So it's gone.
So it's a dream pour. It's off. It's
I don't know, yeah. It's going to make us sick,
give it,
isn't it?
Just give it to me, guys. Just give it to me.
Look, I don't want it.
I'll take it home. I'll braise something in it. We'll cook with it. And then, yeah.
Big ups to Laurel Albert and the Feral for providing us with this beer.
And, you know, we were talking about people who've supported us this year. And I think the Royal Albert are a big place that has supported us. Mick has been awesome to the podcast. He's let us record there a few times.
Oh, and I think in the new year there'll be some future endeavours between Sacheville and the Royal Albert. So
I think we can probably even talk about that, do you think?
Fuck it, why not?
Yeah. So next year we're looking at doing some more live episodes a bit more regularly rather than just the one every Sydney Craft Beer Week. And I think the first one to kick that off is going to be at the Royal Albert again because it went so well last time. And Mick is really keen on supporting us with that. And we're going to do an Australia Day live episode at the Royal Albert Hotel.
All right. We're going to do one every month for a little while to see how it goes.
Yeah, so and see how it goes. If it's too much, too much. If it's not, it's not. You know, it's...
Put it this way, we're not going to make any money out of it. We're just going to put everything into some shit hot deals on the day.
So if you remember the live episode at Craft Beer Week where I think it was what, like... Was it $15, $25, $20?
I think you paid
less than that, wasn't it?
Was it $12.50?
Yeah, $12.50.
It was $12.50, yeah, and you got
$12.50.
You got four beers and two spirits.
We're gonna make sure it's worth your while. Like, yeah. More details obviously to come. The first one we'll try and probably do a little bit of a follow on the local tap house. Countdown, I think, is the plan.
Is it called the Local Tap House?
Is it the Gabs?
The Hottest 100.
The Hottest 100?
I think it's called the Gabs Hottest 100 now. Yeah.
But we'll try and at least talk about that a bit.
Are we going to put some bets in again this year?
I'd like to. I'm keen to.
Because you went so well last time.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm keen to do that again. So
I think, you know, there was a lot of upsets last year, and I think there's going to be...
Even more, I was so happy about
some more
Life.
Rustling of the feathers.
Okay, good.
Yeah. Well, how long can Pirate Life maintain the run?
Yeah.
Are they?
How long can Sodawood and Hopper?
Is the zeitgeist of Pirate Life drying up? What's going on? Like, I think there's going to be some mad dramas to have this year.
Yeah. So I like the idea of doing another episode where we all try and guess what does best and then score ourselves on the day. I kind of like that idea.
I think it's going to be the hardest year ever this year. I think last year gave us some hints about, you know, some changing of the guards. And I think it's on for young and old this year.
I can't think of any brewery that has done a Pirate Life this year and just grabbed the whole of Australia by the balls like Pirate Life did last year.
Everyone had Tusk this release.
Yep.
I had it. Yep. Where was your venue of choice?
I had it at the Royal Albert.
You had the Royal Albert?
Yep.
Yep.
I think that might be fair. Do you have it at the Flodge or?
No, welcome? I had it at the Royal Albert.
Okay. I was there with you. Yeah.
I timed my Tusk Day very well. I was actually tied up at work, so I was managed to get to the Royal Albert and have one. And I think
you had one of the last ones. I think.
Yeah, I think
Morgan
15,
has had the last
yeah,
one.
Morgan yeah, Morgan. Yeah. I think about 15-20 minutes of me getting there. I had one before. About 15-20 minutes before it ran out. So it was perfect timing because I didn't want to have a massive night. Although I had one, just not the Royal Albert. But I didn't want to have a massive night on Tusk. So I was able to have one, move on to Warhog, which is my normal game plan on Tusk Day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Warhog's way better, in my opinion.
Warhog's more my style. You can't say one's better than the other.
Yeah, true.
Personally, I find...
In my taste, it's way better.
So for those listening who don't know, Tusk is Feral Brewing's very limited release Imperial IPA.
Yep.
I think they release it twice a year at this point.
I think it's every 6 months these days.
Yeah.
Yep.
And
there doesn't seem to be any rhyme or reason when it comes out. It's just like, it's Tusk Day's coming up.
And
it was funny because I think about a week before they announced it, I was like, fuck, it's going to be coming up to a Tusk Day pretty soon.
And then
and everyone's like, oh, no. And then like 2 days later, they announced Tusk. Yeah, so. Yeah,
and usually like each venue gets one keg and...
They have to tap it that day.
That day. And most venues run out of it on the same day.
I think it's one of the most most kegs of Tuscans in New South Wales this time as well.
Yeah.
Seems to be going.
Yeah, it actually sounds like a couple of venues kept their kegs.
Yeah, because I think they did what? Like
after
four
the
or five kegs?
Yeah.
They did five kegs in Sydney.
Six.
And there was...
So, four in the city, one in Coleroy, one down south, which I can't remember the
Blind
name.
Bear. Blind Bear in Cronulla.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I know
Newcastle had
two.
Yeah, it'd probably be about right.
Yeah, because I know Grain Store got one, but I think someone else got one as well.
Happy Wombat or someone like that.
Yeah. And they got it the day after Sydney. So, New South Wales got quite a few kegs of Tusk this time.
Forest Lodge, Tap House, Royal Albert.
No, not Tap House. Union.
Oh, Union.
Yeah.
Oh.
Welcome, Union, Royal
That's
Albert.
That's right.
Lodge.
Yeah.
And then Blind Bear, yeah.
And
Coleroy Beach Club.
Yeah, it's a pretty good lineup.
I mean, that's some of the best pubs, I think, around.
So, what's your ideal serving size for a glass of Tusk?
Pint. Pony.
There was some kerfuffle about the fact that the Blind Bear in Cronulla was serving $20 pints of Tusk, and some people were complaining about the fact that it was $20 for a pint. I was like, what fucking idiot orders a pint of Tusk?
Yeah. Mate, if you order a pint of Tusk, you're not going to remember how much you paid for it. That's fine. $30 for it.
On the back decal at Royal Albert, it said, no cans, no pints.
Yeah.
Which, okay, so we have a can right now, but that was a gift for us.
The minute you said it was a cannibal, everyone knew exactly where it came from. So there's no point. You should have just said it came in a takeaway vessel.
Yeah. That's what T stands for, right?
Takeaway.
Takeaway. No, but like, it's like, but you don't want a pint of it anyway.
That's it.
It's like I don't even want a schooner of it.
I had it in a schooner.
Yeah.
I had a schooner.
A lot of people did, by the way.
Schooner,
most of what I sold was schooners.
But I don't know. I've seen certain people at this table undo themselves on Tusk in previous Tusk days.
I do not know what you're talking about.
That's not aimed at just one person, by the way.
Yeah, it's everyone at this table.
I think my favourite Tusk day was also the opening day of Cameray Craft.
I have to do a university assignment. Do you remember that? That was awesome.
I got it done.
I think I was actually, the best bit about that was I was living with you at the time, and you left 45 minutes before I did to go and do your assignment. And I got home before you did anyway. So
I was fucked.
That's so good.
I got the assignment done though.
Excellent. So
I distinctly actually remember him saying
gets
that
assignments done.
He woke up on his chair at his desk and was like, oh, fuck. Oh, I did it. And then woke up in the morning and realized he hadn't even started yet because he fell asleep and then had to do it in the morning.
It was something like that, yeah.
That's brilliant.
So what do you guys think of this right now?
This is probably one of my favorite iterations of Tusk for some time.
I really like that Tusk isn't the same every time.
Yeah, me too.
So this time I think it's like 12%.
12.1,
I 12.1. think. And it's actually come down about 0.4% since the last one.
Yeah.
I think it was about 12.5 around there, 12.8.
Was it 12.8 one time?
Fuck.
The last one was really big.
Because they've done some below 10 before. So
it was around the 9s for quite some time. Then it hit like, I think, 10.2.
And then it went up
to like,
I do appreciate that they're willing to iterate on it and actually... you know, change it up a bit.
Well, it's all about the batch, each batch.
Yeah.
And the fact that the decal has the batch date on it and stuff like that as well.
100%.
And so...
And the fact that you... like, obvious exceptions aside, like, you have it on Tusk Day or you don't have it. That's kind of how it works.
Like, usually within a week of release.
Yeah. I'm going to say 2-3 days. Yeah. Like,
which, to be fair, this is what... 4 or 5 days after? We're not that far off.
This is like about, 7-8 days after keg.
No. After keg, but after after actual Tusk Day in Sydney, it's not far off. It's 4 days.
Yeah.
So, we're not far off, but at the same time, like, I do like that about Tusk, that every batch is different and does change, and so you can say a certain batch is better than another. And I do agree with you, Liam. I think this is my favorite iteration.
And the reason is, and the reason why I don't normally like this style of beer is because I find them too sweet.
Yeah.
And this is probably one of the drier ones of the last two or three at least,
it is.
Right?
It is still like has that sweetness to it, but
I mean it's still a 12.1% like IPA. Yeah. It's still sweet.
For me it reminds me of those pineapple lumps. Like it's got that like pineapple lolly sort of a.
I really, really liked last November's iteration. I thought that was great. That was probably
was that two tusks ago?
Two tusks ago.
Yep.
And I found that one nice and piney and nice and hoppy and bitey. I missed May's one from, or April, yeah, whenever it was, last one. That was roundly criticised as being too sweet and too big and
too boozy.
Not many people liked it.
For my palate, too boozy.
Yeah, so I didn't have that. But this one I really enjoyed, but I still think it's slightly on the sweet side for my absolute preference.
It is. But at the same time, I'm going to be controversial and say that this is actually tasting better than 4 days ago. I don't know what's changed, but I don't know. Like it just seems more integrated.
I disagree, but really? I think I preferred it on tap.
Maybe I'm just really drunk.
Sometimes
I am really drunk, but maybe that's the reason.
Adrian, so am I. So, yeah. You know, that I don't think that's...
Sometimes those super fresh beers can be settle down a little bit after a few days or a week or whatever. You know, it can happen.
They can, yeah, absolutely.
Like, obviously, like, you know, in 2 months, this probably won't taste as good. But
even in a week,
you know what? It's not the way the brewery intends to have it, but with that much booze, it will hold up somewhat. The malt character will hold up, but the hops are going to die down.
Yep.
But you know what? At the end of the day, if the brewery wants us to drink it fresh, and they go a long way to make sure that happens, and then I think as a customer, you need to show some respect and do that.
Talking of super fresh beers, direct from brewery to dispense.
Yeah.
I know we've mentioned it a couple of times already in the last few months, but the Bitterfew initiative of Fresh as Fuck, I thought was a really good development for this year. Really,
yeah, it was a pretty cool thing.
You know what?
I was hoping that they'd do it more often.
Yeah,
though.
Me too.
Keep it going. I agree.
I'm still hopeful.
I think there's certain breweries, and I got to say, I was at the Forest Lodge on Tuesday, the day before Tusk Day, and they had a keg of Hop Hog that it literally was fresh as fuck. It was the most amazing thing.
Yeah.
And it was the biggest tease because I was having another beer. I didn't even realize I had Hop Hog on. And I'm normally like, you know.
You see Hop Hog, you kind of
skip it. You know what I mean? For me, Hop Hog's a fallback because it's like, if there's nothing else, at least it's Hop Hog.
I love it. They're like, can you imagine saying that 3 years ago?
I'll say it again. Hop Hog is our generation's Cooper's Pale Ale.
Yeah, no, I agree. I 100% agree.
Yeah.
Stone and Wood, I think, is our generation's.
But I was drinking something else, and one of the girls behind the bar was like, oh, look, do you want this? And she just gave me half a schooner. I was like, oh, what is it? So it's Hop Hog. I didn't realize she gave it to me because they'd just blown the line. And I was like, oh, fuck, this is amazing. I'm drinking this all night. And I was like, can I get another one of those Hop Hogs? Like, oh, sorry, we just blew the keg. And it was the biggest tease because it was the freshest Hop Hog of all time. And Jackson just happened to be at the pub as well. And he's like, he said, like, there's this magical timing where if he places an order on the right day, he pretty much comes straight off the train into the warehouse and straight in.
I know he's offered to me in the past to give super fresh Hop Hog and put, like, a date on the decal.
Yeah.
On the tap.
Yeah.
Which I've had to say no to because then what does that say about other beers? It's a tough thing to do and how fast we sell it sort of thing. It's hard. But I know Jackson is, and not just Jackson, all of Feral are super committed to getting fresh beer out there. Like they want beer to taste fresh.
I'm going to say probably 98% of the time, all the Hop Hog and other Feral beers we get are really fresh, but a super fresh keg of Hop Hog, like it is a different beer. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And that needs to be congratulated, and not just, and no offense to a bit of you, but doing it for a week versus just doing it as standard practice, which is what we should all be aiming for.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yep.
And, you know, there is realism versus idealism, and I totally get that, but I think there's so much more we can do from every level, from customer to venue to distributor, and anyone who's making an effort to do that should be commended.
It just needs to be like a recognized best practice that you treat your beer like this.
Rather
than
like bit of you doing it and then like showing you what it can be done, like how can you go back and go, oh, we'll just go back to standard practice after
that? Exactly. And like and I agree with you that
the proof's in the pudding, it's in the glass. Like
And I think this actually comes back to Tusk and Tusk Day, because I think customers who think Tusk tastes great and go in for Tusk should then be going in and kind of asking their local pub why they aren't doing that with more beers, because it's not. I've seen a few pubs around New South Wales who have taken Tusk and they have done Tusk Day. But then they've kept other double IPAs in their cellar for a couple of weeks before they put it on tap. Because they're like, oh, no, we'll put it on tap after Tusk. It's like, well, this double IPA, you've had it for 2 weeks already.
Yeah, I mean, and, you know, the reason why Tusk goes on is because there's a demand behind it and also the letter of law put down by the brewery. And so...
Yeah, no, I agree. You know, I think it absolutely... But I think...
You're right. Yeah. What one double IPA versus another doesn't make a difference. Exactly. Well, that's just because a double IPA, actually, a normal IPA, I would be more worried about than a double IPA.
You should be tapping things as soon as you get them. And I understand. I mean, I've worked in pubs for a long time. I understand it's tough. I understand you only have a certain amount of taps. You only have, you know, want to keep certain styles on.
Yeah.
And so it's about, I think, the industry figuring out a better way of doing it.
Basically. I think the first step is the industry needs to realize that it can be done better. Yep. And then, like, not everyone has their own constraints. Like, you know, if it's a venue, it's the size of their cool room. If it's a brewery, it's, you know, there's so many different things that can make it hard. But if everyone can just try and make it that little bit better,
yep,
we all get fucking better beer out of
exactly.
it. Like,
that's what it is. Like, and it makes a difference. And I think Tusk Day is great at showing this. If everyone just got Tusk as a normal release feral beer, they wouldn't put it all on tap at the same time. They'd tap it whenever they fucking wanted to. And it wouldn't be as good a beer. Honestly, like, I don't think it would have nearly the following. It's because feral demand that it's fresh. And that's why it's got a following. That's the reason. Because it tastes better because of that.
Yeah.
And if...
My vote is next year for feral is... They do the same thing they do with Tusk, but do it with all their beers and have all their beers fresh as fuck for one day. And, like, if they can drive Tusk around the country and get it into a venue, fucking put a Warhog on there.
Put
a Hop Hog.
Make Tusk Day feral day.
Still Tusk Day, but just means every beer is treated the exact same way you treat Tusk. 100%. And it'd be great to see those other beers, because it's really hard with Tusk because you don't have a reference point because... It's always fresh as fuck.
Yeah.
But having something like Hop Hog treated the exact same way and seeing how great that is versus what it normally
fresh
is. Like,
fresh Hog is so good. They should do it for Australia Day for Hop Hog because they know that it's going to be up there.
Like,
fresh as fuck day.
Why don't we make it one day a year where everyone has to have fucking fresh beer?
Oh, let's get this started.
Like, yeah.
Let's get started.
I like it. Yeah.
Cool. I'm going to be a Grinch. I'm going to be a Krampus and point out that packaged products sit on shelves for fucking ages.
Yep.
Mate, yeah. One of my favorite beers, Pirate Life Double IPA. You know, most places have had their stock of Double IPA for a while. So what's the solution to packaged products?
I think sitting... the same way we're talking about that it's from every level from keg beers, it's the same thing for packaged products. If you're a brewery and you're letting a venue order way too much beer than they think and you just turn a blind eye to it, you're part of the problem.
But is that an issue of your sacrificing your profit potential for quality?
No, I think you're
quality?
Stitching up a venue because they're moving that beer, if you give them one case...
I mean, like...
The main issue is probably, it's like, especially with bottle shops, it's all about volumetric buyers. So it's going to be like, I'm going to buy a pallet because I'll get a better price for a pallet. If you're a brewery or a distributor that's really concerned about it, you go, you know what? Let's put away a pallet for you, but let's just split it up over time. I'm going to give you two cases this week. You sell it this week, I'll give you two cases next week the same price.
Or if you're a distributor, go, okay, we'll do your pallet, but we'll do it mixed between breweries so that each brewery can give you the best stock.
Place, you go, look, I'll do your pallet, but you got to split it across all the things. And if you really give a shit about it, go in and check on it and go, like, you know what? And if you really care, and this is, you know, very in the perfect world setting, take that beer off back off the shelves and replace it. Like,
I know that there was a point, this was a few years ago because it was back when I was at Beer Cartel, and it was Feral were going through not to use Feral as the example again, but I think they are probably the best example in Australia of someone who...
I think they've been through many different distribution models, especially in New South Wales, so they've probably learned a lot of lessons on the way.
Yeah.
So I
think they are probably also the one that do kind of the best practices that we're talking about, more than some
They were the first person to do cold,
yep.
cold storage in Sydney, as far as I'm aware.
So when I was working at Beer Cartel, which was quite a few years ago, it was when Hop Hog was still in the green bottle. You know the green, not the green bottle. It was brown,
those.
The green label.
Yeah, they were ugly.
Yeah. It was. It does not. It didn't look nearly as good as the current Hot Hog label.
You know, the funny thing is that when they changed it, I hated the new Hot Hog label.
But what do you think now?
It's just Hot Hog. Like, yeah.
But I think it looks better. Like, yeah. I agree. But it's changed bad. But
no, it's just yeah.
But they went. I think they went from doing gold caps to silver caps. At some point, and I remember, I'm fairly sure it was even Brendan who came into the shop, because he was in Sydney at the time, and we were one of his best customers. And he came in, and we had a couple of gold caps or something, the old ones, and he just picked them up and goes, "Don't sell these anymore. Yep. They're done." And we don't have many of them because, you know, Hop Hog especially was a beer that we sold through a lot, but. But yeah, and we just like, yeah, okay.
I think that's great, but at the same time...
But you can't have the head brewer going to every bottle shop in Australia.
Exactly.
Yeah, I agree.
And that's what's happening. It's like people that are not the people that are brewing the beer are selling the beer because that's what their jobs depend on. So they are overselling and their jobs depend on the brewery being successful, which means they need to sell a certain amount of beer, which means there will be old stock everywhere. Not just the places that don't take care of the beer.
What if
even the places that take care of the beer are going to have old stock?
What if your performance as a sales rep is measured not by the fact of how much beer you sell, but how fresh the beer is in the venues you're supplying to?
Like, then the beers are going to be really expensive.
But that's it. So,
like, okay, Fixation, for example, have a very strict measures around how much beer they'll actually give you. And they'll be like, you know what? No, you can have two cases this week. I'll give you two cases next week and stuff like that. And
good on. Yeah.
You don't see Fixation around here much, but it's coming to the state. It's because everyone's only getting a little bit and they're fucking selling it really fast.
Yeah.
So
it's an interesting problem. And I was thinking about this exact thing myself the other day, you know, when walking into my favorite bottle shop. This whole thing about, well, how do I know what in here is fresh? I want to be able to pick up the freshest beer that they've got in here. Yeah.
It's really hard.
And I've got no idea. I don't know.
A lot of places don't put dates on their bottles.
But even if they did, I'm not going to go scouring all the shelves and comparing all of the bottled on dates or best
before. I would. You know what? And I personally do. And so many times I've walked into bottle shops, and not just average bottle shops, like great bottle shops, and then just not bought anything that day because there's nothing that I could neither know or I knew that everything had been sitting on the shelves for too long. And I come from a very high almighty thing about it, but I've done it myself. Yeah. You know what I mean? When Tom and I used to work at the pump house, we had like 100 beers in the fridge, and some of those beers were in awful conditions, but we just didn't know any better at the time. But this was like six, eight years ago. Yeah. How long was it now?
Absolutely.
Like,
and I think as a personally, we've grown, but also as an industry, we've grown from there. We were happy to bring in very old stock of Mikkeller or Nugna or
we didn't
Stone.
Know any better. No one knew
or
any
Stone
better.
Like, or. Yeah. You know, like all the stuff that we thought was fucking awesome from the States or from Europe. And then...
And it was tasting awesome at the time. And then we had the fresh stuff and we just went, what?
I know. Well, but because at the time there weren't the local breweries giving you fresh stuff as much. There just weren't. You weren't getting you weren't getting local breweries doing the same quality. So...
You weren't getting the same styles. Like, you know, having like massive IPAs like from BrewDog or from Mikkeller or breweries like, you know, Nugna... but there was no local beer that was of the same quality or hop schedule to compare it to. But these days, like, I actually purposely bought an imported beer today as something different because this year I haven't drunk a lot of international beer unless it's been sours. Because it's like, why would I? And there's so much fucking good beer in Australia now. And why would I drink an old stale oxidized American IPA when I can go to Batch or any number of any other breweries and get the exact same style, way fresher, cheaper, and
I'm the same. I look at beer lists now and beers that used to have made me go, holy shit, that's awesome. I'm like, sours and stouts for sure. That's what I'll drink imported stuff because, you know, there are breweries around the world that do better stuff than Australia does.
I think particularly in sours, we're still super young as a sour brewing nation.
I don't think any country is going to catch up to Belgium. I think America does.
I think
great,
America, there is some really
absolutely
stuff there
are.
Out
of
oh yeah,
I've had a lot of American sours, you have the best lambics from Belgium, and I think
you only have lambics from Belgium because you shouldn't be calling a beer lambic if it's not from.
That's what I'm saying. There's one in the Sydney CBD that's been brewing lambics for a while.
Well,
no
comments.
Yeah.
I was saying that you have the best lambics from Belgium, and I think they are the world standard. I think they are the, you know.
I mean, especially Cantillon. Like, whenever I have a Cantillon.
Cantillon.
You're a Cantillon.
Do you match it with your faux soup as well? Couldn't help yourself, could you? I like mispronouncing things like that in front of Tom because he just has to correct you.
Adrian did join me in the correction of your pronunciation, by the way. It wasn't just me.
Pronunciation? Do you say pronunciation?
Pronunciation.
Oh, excellent. I'm going to keep that in.
No. I don't know where we're going with that. I got lost in paying out
package stuff. I think we did it.
Sessionable. It's probably after Christmas now because this is part two.
But we can release them as two episodes in the same week.
Yeah, maybe.
Anyway. And that way people can listen to it at their leisure.
This is probably a lot of time off over Christmas.
Depending on when we release this episode, either buy a gift for somebody for Christmas. Dave's brewery tour for somebody.
Now, you know what? It's, you know, like that post-Christmas period where you start catching up with the rest of your family, like, oh, shit, I didn't buy that particular person a Christmas present.
Get them the
present.
Gift then. Yeah. Oh, be like, look.
A post-Christmas gift.
Look, I booked you in for this thing. I'm so sorry. I forgot to tell you on Christmas Day, but, like, I've booked you in for it. I did that before Christmas, well before Christmas. Don't worry about that. It's done. And Dave's brewery tour as well. We'll help you with that, right?
They'll fudge a date.
It comes straight to the bookings manager, which is this guy right here. We'll be like,
he booked it months in advance.
Put it this way, I'm actually really keen to go check out some of the tours I haven't even done yet. So, I think we've mentioned it last time Dave's started in Canberra. I'm really keen to go to a tour in Canberra.
Yeah, because, that sounds awesome.
Yeah.
Me too.
Have you guys been to Zeeholtz?
I've had some of their beers. I haven't been there.
Never been.
Yeah.
I want to go check out the cannery.
I've been to Benspoke, and that's
I want to go check out the cannery.
The Benspoke, the new cannery.
Yeah, those are the two I've been to as well. Yeah.
So I reckon in the new year, let's organise a sessionable trip.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah.
And we'll do a Dave's tour in Canberra.
We'll talk the talk.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And for you guys, like, you know, it's a Dave's Brew Tours, do great tours all around breweries in Sydney, Canberra.
Pub walks.
Yeah, pub walks.
I did one of the pub walks recently. The Rocks pub walk is so much fun.
I'm really interested in that, actually.
Yeah, it's really cool. I like
tours in general. Because the people who host them are, like, so knowledgeable and know way more than I do.
Greg, who runs the walking tours, like, yeah, I did one of the Rocks ones. And it's, like, dead set. Like, so many things I didn't know.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, really cool. Really, nice. Really enjoyed it. So,
as always, for any of these stuff, you know, book on the website. So, daysbrewtours.com.au.
That's it.
And let them know that you came through us.
You know what? I reckon in the new year, let's do the Canberra tour and let's let everyone know the day we're going to do the Canberra tour. And so people can come and join us if they want.
Let's make it a bit of a thing. So
we'll catch the bus down.
Our biggest sessionable fans can come on the tour with us.
Yeah, all 15 of you. Yeah,
well, 15. That's generous. I've seen the stats.
I reckon we do that. We'll do a sessionable tour of Canberra.
Yeah,
and we'll jump on the Dave's Brew Tour bus.
We'll take
Shane can drive us around, and if you want to come and join us, we'll catch the bus down to Canberra.
And on the bus down, we'll do some recording, and it'll be good.
Yeah. All right. Okay. We have a beer in front of us.
We do. Oh, what a surprise.
Yeah.
This is probably the most Christmas beer we've had so far in this episode. The second most Christmas beer because the 12 Nights was a Christmas sale as well.
Yeah.
But all the other ones have been tenuous at best, 12 days, sorry.
Well, I think Passion of the Puss.
Yeah.
That's, Passion of the Christ.
Klaus's Claws.
Anyway, this is the Fantôme de Noël. So it is Fantôme, which is a Belgian a saison brewery, basically. They do fucking awesome saisons. That's their MO. And this is their Christmas saison, which is a kind of a darker, chocolatey saison, I think, is their... I don't know if they actually brew it with chocolate, but on the tasting notes on the back, it says that they call it a chocolatey saison.
I would say it's more like malt-derived chocolate, but...
I'd agree with that.
So Fantôme, really, really small brewery... known for batch variants, as in they're not trying to make the same
Fantôme.
Thanks, Tom. That was awesome.
I'm not even going to debate that one.
That was great.
Well played.
Yeah, played. Bonus points for that one. So very, very small brewery and known for, like, purposely having a lot of bottle variants. which does throw some people off. But I don't know. And I'm often very critical of other breweries that are inconsistent, but I kind of like it with Phantom.
They're unabashed about it. So that it is their thing. And yeah. I think the first ever Phantom beer I had was the... what was the name? It was the one that was just like bright green.
The tea one?
The tea one.
That's so good.
And it is really good, but it is the only other beer I'd ever had that was as weird a colour was Cephalopod. Yeah. And that was it. Like, it is almost as weirdly coloured as Cephalopod.
Almost. Not quite.
Not quite, but yeah. Almost. Because it's actually green, whereas Cephalopod is like dirty dishwater green.
Dishwater green, yeah. In a good way.
Yes, absolutely. And as was this. And I remember absolutely loving that beer because it was an awesome Belgian Saison. Super weird colour, but you did get some of that. It was a green tea.
It tastes a lot like tea.
Yeah.
Was that the Pissin something? Because that's... No? Yeah. That's... what are you... Not Elderflower. It uses...
I honestly can't remember.
Oh, dandelions. It's a dandelion saison.
So I think that sounds familiar.
Apparently, like, when you have a lot of dandelions, it's meant to be like a diuretic. So Pissalet means like...
Piss a lot?
Piss the bed, I think it is. Yeah, okay. And the idea is it pissed the bed?
That explains a lot about that night.
I'm pretty sure this was a...
piss and lit.
A hoarders at Cameray or something. I remember it drinking at Cameray.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so apparently, you make your own
beer. Was that the green tea one?
The dandelion one was a pretty funky colour. Okay. I don't know if that was a green tea one.
I have had the piss and lit, but I'm not sure if that was a green tea one. Anyway. Phantom. It's fucking weird.
I mean, I do love this colour. This seems more like a beery colour, though. It's a nice, like, burnt orangey brown.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like a deep amber.
Yeah. So there is another Phantom that does have chocolate in it.
There is the Phantom chocolate, yeah.
But I think this one's just like a spiced...
Yeah, I think it's a darker malt and some kind of Christmassy spices.
But even the straight Phantom Saison...
Yeah.
It's probably my favorite, and I really like Phantoms. Nice. It's the type of beer that if I see it, I always grab a bottle.
And I walked past Platinum Liquor today, and I walked in. I was like, I already had a bottle of a Christmas beer in my bag, but I was like, you know what, I'll bring another one because that's sessionable Christmas. This was the most Christmassy beer I think he had. He had a Nurgner Godjul and some other, but I already had something like that. So I felt like going for a nice Christmassy Saison. As I said, like, I think a Saison is actually really good. Like, I think this would work really well in an Aussie Christmas because it's not super rich. It's not super, strong.
This is like a light Belgium Christmas ale, and it's got some of that spice character and a little bit of that rum and raisin, but it's Saison based. So
how
it's really
strong
nice
do you think this is?
I'm going to maybe say 6%.
I think it's 10%.
Yeah. Whoa!
I was going to say 7%.
It is 10%.
Yeah.
Says on the bottle,
10%. I would have thought 5%.
It does not taste
it
at all.
I think it's quite dense. It is quite dense, but it's an interesting beer. There's some slight chocolatiness on there.
It kind of smells like carrot cake that a horse has rolled around in. But in a good way.
Yeah, yeah. I knew there was a smell that I could recognise. Yeah,
Now you've said it, I can definitely put my finger on it. Yes, carrot cake that a horse has rolled around in a good way.
How did you know what that smells like?
What Adrian does with his horses and his carrot cake is up to him, okay?
He is right, though.
That is awesome. That is up there with freshly cut garden hose is another one of my favourites. But that takes the cake. That carrot cake.
I think takes the carrot cake. Yeah.
That the horse has rolled in. That's brilliant.
Well, I don't know where we can go from there.
I think that's...
Oh, we still have like 2 minutes left to go, mate.
It's Phantom done.
This is a really interesting beer. So yeah. Definitely recommend if you see this one around. It might be a bit full on for some people. Yeah. Definitely recommend trying it.
Yeah, I think Phantom's awesome. One of those hit and miss breweries, but when they hit, they're very hit. So
I would recommend always buying it, though. If you see it, you buy it, because especially if you like Saisons, then you will probably like the Phantom you pick up. You might like some more than others, but you will probably find something worthwhile drinking. Whether it's a good batch or not, I think you will always enjoy it.
And especially with Belgian beers tend to be very traditional. Even Cantillon or Cantillon, whatever. even they are very traditional in their brewing, and they will pump out the same beer all the time, you know, for better or for worse. Whereas Fantome is one of those ones that are very experimental, and you can get some pretty amazing beers from them.
I think, sorry, in general, another thing that I think this year has been is awesome for is we're seeing the more Belgian beers available this year than I've seen in a long time. Yeah. There's been some awesome Belgian beers that I've never seen in the country before that have been out this year. Like the other beers from DuPont, mm-hmm. besides the straight Saison.
And on tap, here and there, but...
The bit of few takeovers, you know.
Yeah, like they had Bonveau on tap.
Tilcan and...
Yeah.
Alvini.
Alvini is amazing.
Yeah. And a lot of it's coming out of one supply, but like, yeah, we've seen
awesome though. Yeah,
all vials back in the country.
I mean, like, even
like,
when I went,
my God,
yeah. Even when like Tom and I went to Belgium, like Alvini was one of the big Belgian breweries that everyone was after.
Yeah. And it was hard to get in Belgium.
And like, what's is it Hansen or
Hansen's? Yeah, Hansen's are pretty traditional as well.
Yeah,
But they're great.
Yeah,
it's awesome seeing kind of the really good Belgian stuff come to Australia, because we've had all the best US stuff has been making its way over.
More and more we're seeing, you know, like Speedway, Al Smith's out here now.
Brewery. I can't believe that that's coming out here.
Yeah, get that. Get Still on can't that. Believe that. Get on that.
Some
Tart
pretty
of Darkness.
Good, like,
stuff in the
brewery. I remember when it was announced that brewers coming out, I was like, oh, it's just going to be the shit ones. It's going to be the good ones. There's some pretty bloody good brewery beers.
Tart of Darkness, Tart, or Zyder.
I didn't realise there were any
White
shit ones.
White Oak.
Oh, there's some less funkier ones. And
some fucking good shit.
Coming out of both of their breweries as well, not just the main ones.
But it's awesome seeing, again, like, the Belgian stuff come back. And it's really funny. Like, a lot of that Belgian stuff has actually made it to the country before, but no one knew what it was. So they sat on the shelves for a while.
Mate.
Which was amazing. Like, Orval used to not sell. And now Orval, you fucking... Like, I think Bucket Boys are putting a 2-bottle per... customer limit on it.
Sessionable.
All right, so we got a new beer in front of us. So this is the one that I brought.
So who's this from? Or to? It's
from me.
Yeah.
To you.
Oh, thanks, Liam.
Via Mikola.
Hey.
Thanks.
Like I said, I haven't been drinking a lot of international. No, it's actually just called Two From.
Oh, it's a new one.
They've changed it. So last one was Danish. It was like Fratil. Fratil. Via Mikola. So this year, I don't even know if this year, it's probably last year's, it is a holiday ale brewed with spices, and it's pretty much a porter or a stout. It's really good. But, you know, it's a dark beer from Mikola, so you know it's going to be good.
Yep.
But yeah, I brought this along because, you know, we were talking about before the fact that I haven't seen a lot of Christmas beers out this year. And the first thing when I think about Christmas beers is about Mikola, because I think Mikola always had... amazing Christmas beers.
And you used to have like the 10 different ones out every
Hoppy
year.
Christmas, the
Rizalamal.
That one.
Fratil.
And I think this is just a genius beer because the beer is a card. It's a gift card.
Beautiful.
And actually, you know, it has 2 space so you can write it from via Mikola. Yeah. So, you know, it's like when you really, really push for time, it's like, fuck it, even got this person a card. The gift is the card. What do you know?
And it's the beer as well.
Yeah, yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, it is awesome.
One of my mates got me this beer once for my birthday, and it was awesome.
Yeah. Good on him.
And I kept the bottle for a while, and then I got rid of all my bottles. Mm. Sorry, Dave.
But yeah, like I said, this year for me, I've been drinking a whole bunch of local beers purely just because of work and the fact that I have access and get to hang around a whole bunch of breweries all the time.
So you haven't been doing the import stuff?
I haven't drunk a lot of imports at all, besides the odd American sours or some lambics and stuff like that. So I thought today we'll bring a Christmas beer in the traditional sense, and this is it.
Beautiful.
Pretty good beer.
It's really dry.
It is. It's lovely.
I like
I'm enjoying it a lot.
Same.
Herby, spicy.
Yeah.
But
dry and
it's Christmassy without
malty.
As much of that rum and raisin.
Yeah,
not being
sweet. You know.
Yeah. But yeah. Bit different than everything we've had so far today, but nice. You know, because we haven't had enough beer yet, so...
Yeah.
No, I mean, we still have one more to go.
Oh, well, we have to have the next beer, otherwise...
We do, otherwise it's not
a
sessionable
Christmas.
Christmas
podcast, yeah.
So,
are we going to do a beer recommendation?
Like I think so.
Best
I think
favorite beer of year or beer this year you really enjoyed?
Well,
that's a very broad one.
I know, it's hard.
Oh, my God.
I
mean,
I could probably think of one of many beers that I really enjoyed. I can't give you my definitive beer
look,
of the
I
year.
Look, I can probably give you my definitive beer of the year. Oh, but yeah. it's one that I've talked about on the podcast before.
Is it Burt?
It's going to be the Negroni.
Is it brewed in the Camperdown Annandale area?
It is
area?
Not.
Oh,
okay.
Oh, wow.
I think Brad's got my number, though.
Negroni IPA.
True.
Yes, yeah. It is.
Fair enough. Yeah. That's a good one.
I think that is my beer of the year. It's just... I don't know. I've talked about it at length on this podcast. We've had it on the podcast. I love it. It's perfect to me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool.
This year has, you know, been a year of this. So many great Australian beers out there, but it's also a year where I've sort of gone back to my roots and some classic beers, and I've had this year a reaffirmation with one of my favorite beers of all time, and it is, in my opinion, the best beer of all time, and it's Saison DuPont. Best beer ever.
Beautiful. Absolutely beautiful. I cannot be beaten. I had one like... Well a couple said. Of days ago, and I was, it is like an old lover, you know.
Wow, that's deep.
Yeah. But you can go back, and you know what you're getting, and it's great, you know.
Yeah, I'm still thinking. I'm still thinking.
Yeah, it's a hard one.
It is a hard one, because like I'm trying to think of what I've drunk a lot of. I'm thinking like maybe Winston, because that is one of my favorite beers.
But is that anyway. Just by geography?
But or? I just don't think I've had enough of it this year.
Of Winston. Okay.
Because it's like becoming more and more rare.
I'm sure I agree with that.
I don't know.
I've seen Winston.
I've had more Winston this year than I had in previous years.
I'm with Brad.
And I love it. I think it's great.
Winston's one of my favorites.
I saw something on Untappd earlier today, someone saying that it was Australia's best pale ale, and it's hard.
It is, in my opinion, it is Australia's best pale ale.
I've heard that said quite a lot, and it's hard to dispute it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, let's go with that.
Sweet. I think it's a great one.
Yeah, sure. Absolutely.
I don't know.
it's a hard one to put someone on the spot.
I've had loads of good beers this year, and you'll have to wait and see what my hottest 100 votes are in January.
Okay. Oh, yeah, okay. All right. Yeah. Nice one. Yeah, okay. So, Tom, do you want to tell us about the next beer? If all five people who've listened to multiple Christmas episodes will probably guess what this beer is.
Exactly. So, for anyone who has listened to multiple sessionable Christmas episodes, you're insane, basically. Is anyone
listened to all of them all the way through?
I'm not sure I listened to this one, though.
If you're still listening and you've listened to all of the Christmas episodes...
Yeah, I think this is going to be a three-part episode.
Yeah, you should probably seek professional help. But you probably know what beer this is, because this is a beer we have had every sessionable Christmas episode, and the exact vintage. So...
I've actually still got a couple of bottles. I was going to bring one as well.
But. Yeah. So this is probably, again, one of my favorite Christmas beers.
My favorite Australian Christmas beer.
Absolutely. This is the Little Brewing Company Mad Abbott Christmas Ale 2013.
Is that the first year they did it?
I believe so.
Do they still do it?
I saw 2015 in the bottle shop when I was buying the batch beer, so...
I don't know if they did one this year.
Yeah, I'm not sure if there's a 16 yet.
There might be, but... I know Warwick...
Because they actually release it during winter.
In the middle of the year.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Yeah, so there might not be.
And so this is they do release it in the winter. This is very much a Christmas-style beer that's not necessarily meant to be drunk around Christmas in Australia, because it is a full-on Belgian-style quadruple with the full spices... And the fruits and it's a big one. So 11.3%. And let's see if it says what it's brewed with. Dark Belgian style quadruple, characters of rum, fruitcake, plum, cherry, leather, and spice. It will reward careful cellaring up to 3 to 5 years. And I think we are in that range right now.
Yeah, I'd be interested to see how this beer is holding up.
Same. And this has always been one of my favorite Christmas beers. Every year, I do enjoy drinking it, and I'm really keen to try an old 13.
It smells like banana and brown sugar.
It really does.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nailed it.
It's lost a lot of... Oh, on the nose, at least, it's lost all that rum and raisiny sort of thing. It's really mellowed out.
Oh, it smells divine, though, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
That's smooth as fuck.
Oh, that's fucking good.
Yeah. That has changed so much since the last time I tried it.
Yeah, it's so good.
That is amazing. So what are you guys tasting?
I'm tasting cake.
banana, as you said. You get sweetness. It's like it's kind of creamy, actually.
It is creamy, yeah. A lot of sweetness.
Tastes like carrot cake.
Carrot cake that's been rolled around by horses.
No, reindeer. Reindeer, I think.
By reindeer. Yeah, I agree.
It's definitely reindeer.
Yeah. No, but I think carrot cake is actually like a...
Banana cake, I'm
going to
say.
Banana cake. Yeah. Banana bread.
Yeah.
Like toasted banana bread.
Banana bread?
Banana bed.
Yeah.
Banana bed is I think, where I am right now.
That's where you need to be. Yeah, I think you need to go to your banana bed.
Yeah.
All right, yeah. That's it. All right, end the episode. Tom's cut off. Let's end this episode and just say this beer is...
It's
fucking
good,
amazing.
I'm actually enjoying it.
Yeah.
It's way different than the last time I've had it.
It's super mellow, which is great.
It has mellowed out a lot.
I'd say if anyone has bottles of 2013 Mad Abbott Christmas Ale, crack them now.
Yeah.
Or if you find it in a bottle, like a random bottle shop like Tom did this year, go fucking grab it.
Yeah.
It's a fucking bargain.
Yeah.
I reckon go to Camperdown Cellars, because I know like 2 years ago before I left, I actually threw some in the cellar there. Placed some in the cellar there. So hopefully
tell them, Liam, put some in the cellar and you want it.
Damn it. Yeah. Don't say that, because I want to go buy it all. It's like, yeah. No, but I actually think I wouldn't hold on to this beer for another year. I think it's time to drink it now. I think it's changed now. It's tasting beautiful.
It's beautiful, but it is, yeah. The amount it's changed since last year.
Another 2 years, like 3 to 5 years, right?
I don't think it's got it. I think it's time to drink it.
I mean,
it. Yeah.
But I mean, next year, when we have Mad Abbott 2013 again,
we'll find out.
We shall see.
Yeah.
You'll have to tune in a year. But no, like, please tune in earlier than that.
No one's... I mean, let's be real. No one's still listening.
Can we... I've got an idea.
I'm not still listening.
I've got an idea. Like, how about we release...
I was out, like... half an hour ago. So
how about we release the episode in like two parts, but then release like a best of 15 minutes where we just cut down to the beer talk?
Sure. Do you want to edit that?
I don't.
Anyway,
let's wrap it up.
Yep. The producer's giving us the wind up. Anyway, Merry Christmas, all.
Thanks again, Dave's, for sponsoring the podcast.
Yep.
Thanks to you guys for listening.
Yeah,
I was going to say thanks to you guys for bringing some sick beers this year.
It's been
a good year.
Yeah. And it has been a really good year. And I've got a sneaking suspicion that 2017 is going to be a fucking awesome year for Sessionable.
Yeah, there's some pretty...
some good stuff lined up.
I think we got some pretty cool stuff to work out in the new year. So, yeah.
And some really like awesome stuff for our listeners. So, I'm really looking forward to that. And on that... I think we should probably...
I think if you've got to this far in the podcast and you're still listening, I think we all owe you a beer.
Should we give them a secret password so that if they ever say it to us, we buy them a beer?
You know what the password is? Tom's got you covered.
Tom's got you covered.
Merry Christmas, everybody.